Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go.
Doing the shibari?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that was one of the things. Oh my gosh, I used to love being having all that done to me. I miss that. Yes. That was so hot.
And there's so many kinky people on Bumble. It's a little scary.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I've Hold on. Maybe I've poo-pooed Bumble too soon. Excellent communication is required when you want to get into these types of roles because you have to have that, you know, good communication and honesty, and then that builds the trust. And then you can really go far and deep with someone into this lifestyle. I'm not opposed to a guy doing it to me, you know, getting me all up, putting me, you know, keeping me in chastity a little bit, and then just going for it. Finally, I get my reward. I would totally dig that. Like, I'm down for that. Hey guys, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Well, I am super excited to be here today with you on this lovely Saturday. Today I have my guests are Rope Squirrel and Ritzia from Kink in the Chain podcast. I'm so excited to have them on today. Boy, we really get into some fun stuff and, you know, we just scratched the surface. And as I'm doing this interview, what I'm realizing is, oh my gosh, there's so much more there. I might just have to circle back around to them at some point, you know, to go deeper. But really what I uncovered is those two are very fun. And I can tell that they have a fun, full, interesting, kinky sex life. And there's just so much more to get into and uncover. The other thing is that Rope Squirrel and both and Ritzia have a really a lot of resources to share. So listen into the podcast. They mentioned some websites. I'm going to provide all of the links in the show notes, so don't worry. And then, of course, if there's anything that you want to ask them, just feel free to, you can message me, voicemail me, email me, or just go directly to them, which would probably be a whole lot faster. And, you know, that I just feel like they've got a lot of great tools and learning resources. And just let them know that, you know, you heard them on the Curious Girl Diaries. All right. Well, without further ado, here they are. Enjoy. Okay. Hey guys, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am so excited. Today's guests are Kink in the Chain podcast. I have Rope Squirrel and Ritzia on. And today I think we're going to really dig into some BDSM stuff. And what I've done today for you guys is I'm asking the questions, the most commonly asked questions that you send me all the time about BDSM. And so this is what I'm going to be asking Rope Squirrel and Ritzia today because it's kind of their thing. All right. So, hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yes. I am so excited. First of all, I love the name of your show, Kink in the Chain. What a great name. Who thought of that?
It would be me.
Good call. Good call. And so how did this start and how did the two of you kind of come together?
So I originally started this podcast many, many years ago with an ex-partner. And without going into too much detail, we broke up and whatnot. So I started doing it solo. And I just realized that I really needed someone else, a different opinion, instead of me just monologuing into a microphone every single week. So I wanted to have somebody else there who could actually give me a different opinion, a different side, different gender from whatever it might be. And the first person I happened to think of was actually, somewhat ironically, another ex-partner, Ritzia here. So,
true statement.
Yes. I listen to shows that have where they have a team, there's partners on, there's teams, there's, you know, you have co-hosts. And I won't lie, I'm a little jealous because it's like, it's hard, you know, after 5.5 years of just me, that's why I'm always trying to get people on the show. I love to have people on because then I'm not just a one man band. So I always, I'm so glad you guys are here. Let's jump into some of the questions. I would love to get your perspective. You know, I feel like I fielded a lot of the same questions kind of over and over for a long time and from my listeners. And I'm kind of new to BDSM. I was in a 3.5 year dominant submissive relationship. And so I don't really consider myself the foremost authority. And my listeners got to follow me as along as I stumbled into it, and then it unfolded, and I podcasted about all of my adventures, you know, over time with that. But I feel like I'm still learning, and there's a lot I don't know. So I always, when I give out advice or answer questions about it, I always feel a little tentative, you know, and I say it with a grain of salt, and I tell people, you know, I'm not the foremost authority on this, but I'm really looking forward to getting your take on, you know, some of the commonly asked questions that I get. So let me start with number one. If you're interested in the BDSM lifestyle, where do you recommend newbies go to get started? And do you guys have any favorite resources or websites that you can share?
Well, the book that I recommend, or the books that I recommend most of the kinksters read, there's 3 books. The first is Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns. And then the other two are the New Topping Book and the New Bottoming Book. And what I say to most people is that if you read these 3 books, you will have a pretty good idea of what our lifestyle is about. Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns really gets into the master-slave dynamic to a very serious degree. It talks about stories and things of that nature. And the Topping Book and the Bottoming Book are both really good about explaining the actual roles once you're in there. And just so that the listeners understand, there is a difference between master-slave and top-bottom. Master-slave is more of a relationship, so think of boyfriend-girlfriend. And top-bottom is more the doee and the doer, so the person doing the action and the person receiving the action. So once you understand those elements of our lifestyle, there are obviously other elements. There's like the whole leather culture and a lot of the contests and all kinds of pride regarding leather. But those are kind of the big ones to take a look at. And the only other one that I highly recommend is utilizing sites. I like FetLife personally. FetLife is where I do most of my social interaction, and I find places to present and talk. But the big thing is the events tab. So once you've set up your profile and you go to your events tab, there you've got all the local events in your area. And that's where you really have to start when you're doing this. You have to attend local events and let people get to know you. But I'm sure Ritzy has some other ideas too.
Well, I was just going to feed off of your event thing where people should be going to like munches and things. And you find those on FetLife because it's not really that easy to Google things anymore for like events. You really have to find the website. So FetLife is really good for linking all the events in your area or in your state. And then if you go to other states, you can look up other states and you travel and open up different events that are in each state. I like munches because you get to meet people, you get to ask questions and interact. Right now, a lot of the munches are on Zoom or WebEx because of COVID, but it's helpful. You get to meet people, learn things, go to classes. There's a lot of classes out there too. I help run rope classes, local rope classes.
And are you guys doing the Shibari?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that was one of the things. Oh my gosh, I used to love having all that done to me. I miss that. Yes. That was so hot. That was a big part of what I was into with my dominant. It's interesting. I have sort of shied away from FetLife, and I think I need to probably check that out a little bit more myself. I have an account that I put up a long time ago. I never really did much with it. I don't get on there and interact. But now that I'm no longer with my dominant, and I'm kind of like, how do I continue? I've realized that this is my thing. And so I'm trying to find good avenues to continue it and move forward with it. And the hookup apps aren't really the best for that because these ding dongs, they think they're dominant. They don't know. They're just domineering. You know, they're like, someone said to me the other day, this is the perfect opportunity for me to say this on the podcast. So I'm like, I've got to say this at some point. Some guy was like, so do you want me to show you that, you know, there's no limits? You have no limits? And I'm like, And this guy's like a baby. He's barely shaving. And this is like, and I'm like, well, actually, there are always limits. And it's about respecting the other person's limits. And, you know, because he's like, well, I'm a dom. And I'm like, no, you're not. You barely have a pubic hair. What are you talking about? Like, this takes time. This takes a lot of learning and skill. And if you're announcing that you're a dominant, you probably aren't. So I just like, you know.
Right. I had experience like that when I was on Bumble. There's so many kinky people on Bumble. It's a little scary.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I've been, okay, now hold on. Maybe I poo-pooed Bumble too soon.
Yeah, there's a bunch and they're all over the place. And there's males and females. So you can always look for both.
Okay. Well, maybe. Okay. See, this is why I was excited to have you guys on. I need this information. Yeah, I've been in my little bubble, but I'm ready to branch out. Okay, good. So I'll revisit FetLife and I may check out Bumble. You know, what do you think about Tinder?
Tinder's for sex.
Yeah, Tinder's for sex. I've had good luck with OkCupid as well, finding individuals on there. But then, of course, I like zero in on one particular question. It's like toys in the bedroom, yes or no. And if they say no, it's like, nope. Not even going to bother.
Like, yeah, no. Yeah,
I noticed with Tinder, it's if you really wanted just a hookup. And so there's a lot more swingers on Tinder. But I think that just might be Colorado.
Yeah.
It might be the state I live in. There we go.
Yeah.
Where are you guys located? Is that okay to say?
In Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're in Colorado. Yeah.
Well, I'm in Florida. I was in California and I just recently moved to Florida. So that's why I have to kind of like get my whole new bearings here, like get reestablished. Okay. So how do you guys feel? How do you qualify? How would you tell somebody that's new, maybe, you know, how to qualify a good dom? And then conversely, how to qualify a good sub?
The one metric that I use the most for doms and subs was mentioned earlier, but if someone insists on honorifics, i.e., you know, let's just say you're at a club and you walk in somebody and they're like, yeah, my name is Master Jim, let's say. And you're like, oh, hi, Jim. It's nice to meet you. I'm Rope Squirrel. No, Master Jim. If somebody's insisting upon that, that is usually my first indication. I'm not saying they don't necessarily deserve it. There are individuals within my community that I will not use the honorific. I have to make sure that even if I'm addressing them, I will use that. Or if I was to address them here, I would use that honorific. But if they are insisting upon an honorific to someone who doesn't even know them, that means they know very little. And most of the people that I know that are worth their salt, I can call them by their first name if they want. They will not care.
Sure.
Because in fact, some actually say, please don't call me by my honorific. I really don't want that, but they've earned it. So I will call them by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, to qualify, I was like, communication.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
You have to be good at communicating as a dom or as a sub, because if you stay quiet the whole time, you don't know if you're enjoying it. You don't know if there's something hurting. You don't know if you're doing something wrong or right. Like, if you're not making noises and verbalizing anything, like, it's like playing with a dead fish.
Yeah. So right.
I was just gonna say
it's
one of those moments.
I'm sorry, I know I stole your thought there. I just feel like excellent communication is required when you want to get into these types of roles, because you have to have that, you know, good communication and honesty, and then that builds the trust. And then you can really go far and deep with someone into this lifestyle with, you know, into this dynamic with them. And that's what makes it hot and sexy and gives you that bond and makes it the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, that's why I always say. My number one answer for a lot of things is communication, because it's what my whole world is revolving around, because I have like multiple partners and multiple relationships, and some are relationships, some are just play partners. So I still have to communicate with everybody and stay safe and make sure I remember limits and things like that, because everybody has limits. Like you were saying earlier, like not having limits. Yeah. I don't want someone to cut off an arm. I don't want to like permanent marks.
Don't have a limit. I'm not into like piercings, and I don't want like needles through my breast. And yes, I do have limits. Absolutely. And to say that, you know, you think you're going to show me that I don't have any, get out of here, twerp. I mean, like, really, right. It was so ridiculous, but I'm with you, Ritzia, because I have the same thing. I'll have a primary partner and then have play partners. And so again, communication is so paramount, you know, if you're going to be engaging in any, I think really most kink, you know, you really need to have good, be able to be open, communicate, tell your partner what you like, what you don't like, and be honest with them.
For sure.
Yeah. So what are some of the, okay, so this is a good one because we kind of mentioned one red flag, but let's talk about what the other ones could be. And I get this a lot too. This is just a common question. What are some of the red flags people should avoid or run in the other direction if they encounter when vetting new partners for kink?
Yeah, I was like, if they don't have limits, that's my first one.
Yeah.
They have to know their limits.
Yeah.
It's okay if you don't know all of the types of play that you're into. Like I'm like a rope top bottom and I suspend myself. So I'm into self roping as well. Mm-hmm. And if somebody else is not interested in, that's fine if your interests don't match, but you should still know, or at least have an idea of like what you're wanting to try too. Like a lot of people still have lists of things they want to try. Rope squirrel over here probably has tried everything, but there's still lists of things that I want to try. So
my list of things I haven't tried is dwindling significantly. I have tried most things, of the common things. I mean, there's some types I haven't tried. Like I did witness an amputation scene at one point. Like obviously I haven't tried that because that's not something I want or need, but, and understand that is very, very rare in the scene.
Wait. Are we talking about amputating like a fingernail? What are we talking here?
No, they were taking off his arm. I'm not kidding. It was
slowly.
They were taking it away in chunks, but it was, So I haven't tried that.
Whoa. I'm like, you are stunning me right now. Like, was there a doctor present? Was the person doing it?
The person, the top was a doctor, apparently. So they knew what they were doing, apparently, and this was this person's fetish. I mean, we have a phrase in the kink community of your kink is not my kink, and that's okay. I definitely want to say that, you know, that I don't, Ritzia, please don't amputate my arm.
Yeah.
But it's what they agreed to. It's what they wanted. So great. The only problem I think with that kind of scene is you can only do it so many times.
You know? Exactly.
But some of the red flags are like if people tell you that they're a rapist or harasser or... What are some of the big ones?
Well, I mean, emotionally manipulative. The big one that I see is we have two things, one called Velcro collars. So in essence, what that basically means is you show up in a munch or an event and somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I need to protect you from all the dangerous people in the scene. So let me collar you so they don't, you know, mess with you and I will keep you safe. That alone is like, you know, I hardly know you and you're already collaring me. A collar, yeah. It should be similar to a wedding ring. It should be something, you know, big and important.
Yeah.
And the other thing is isolating. So in some cases, some individuals will come up to you and say, well, I need to keep you safe. So, you know, you're coming over to my house. Oh, don't go to those public events. There's lots of dangerous people there. Come to my house. Those things kind of are big red flags that, especially if they're not, if the local community doesn't like them in some way, or they feel that we have some individuals here who do underground play parties. They consider themselves to be ostracized or expelled from the local scene. Those individuals were expelled for a reason. There was a reason that happened. Whether that's still true today, I don't know. But the fact that the local community, that the public community doesn't want anything to do with them should be a red flag in and of itself. So if someone says, I don't play in public, there could be two reasons for that. One is they've been kicked out, or two, they're worried about being seen in the public scene and getting outed to the public community. I can understand the second one, but if they have no desire whatsoever to interact with the local community, that should be a disqualifier right there. That we do a pretty darn good job, I think, of policing ourselves and kicking people out that are bad. So that's like the big one. If I have somebody say, hey, I won't play with you in public, it's like, well, then we're probably not going to play. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's really easy to Google people.
Yeah.
Like you can Google people super easily and find out background information about them. If you have your full name, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And I found that for the most part, people do have good intentions, but you will cross paths with people that are just kind of abusers. You know, I don't know how else to say it, but they're not going to respect your limits, your boundaries, and there's a few red flags. Mine are always just some of the things we mentioned where they're not going to, you know, they're just not going to respect your limits or they don't understand what that's about. Sometimes somebody new I will definitely shy away from. No offense to anybody new. Everyone's got to get their start. I do consider myself new too. But since I'm in the submissive role, I really need, you know, a seasoned dominant who knows what he's doing. And, you know, anybody that's not, I mean, just kind of the normal stuff. They're not, if you catch them not being truthful, those are red flags. Insisting that they, you know, like you said, the, what do you say, what'd you call it? The honorarium? Where they're wanting
honorific.
Honorific, you know, they're automatically wanting you to address them by a certain title. To me, that title is earned. And as well as, you know, the collaring, I was a collared sub and we didn't even get into that until, gosh, probably a year and a half into our relationship. So these are serious things. So, you know, you just have to be careful. But yeah, those
another red flag is if someone who doesn't want to use safe words.
Good one. Yes. Yeah.
So if they're refusing to use safe words, but then you know there's a problem because they'll push you to your limits and keep going and won't stop. So especially if you're a bottom trying to find a top kind of situation.
Yeah.
So it's always good to have safe words.
That's very good. Yes. I forgot that. Yes. Very good. You know, yeah. When I first started into this, I really didn't know. I mean, I stumbled into it, literally like Forrest Gumped my way into it. Like I didn't know what I didn't know. And I had no idea that I would like this stuff that was for me. But, you know, I was out doing a lot of sexual exploring and exploring BDSM was really just kind of like, it was a bucket list item. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go have a couple scenes or whatever. And that'll be that, you know, like then I'll just go back to my vanilla life, skipping off, you know, like, doo-doo-doo. Well, that didn't happen. But when the guy that I was with, when he sent, you know, he gave me something, he's like, I want you to fill this out, you know, and it was a lot of questions. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to put in this, you know, and I was like, so I just got real smart ass about it. And I just answered only the ones I wanted to answer and didn't answer the other ones, you know. And at the time I was kind of like irritated by it, like, well, this is stupid. But looking back, I realize, you know, and we went back through it. We had to go through it because, you know, he's like, hey, this is important. I have to know this stuff about, you know, you and your likes and your desires and where your limits are and what you want and what you don't want. And, you know, at first I was like, this is stupid. But then now I see, you know, I mean, now I'm like, well, damn, that's practical. You know, he was trying to be efficient about understanding me very quickly, like, well, what do you like? What are you into? You know, and where do you want to go with this? And what's a hard limit? And I didn't even know like hard limits. I'm like, I didn't even know. I mean, I really didn't know what my limits were at the time. So anyway, I did find that useful, although I scoffed at it and thought it was ridiculous in the very beginning. Looking back, I do see the value of something like that. And even if you want to sit down with somebody and they don't have to fill it out, maybe just sit down and they ask you things and you talk about it. It's a great way to, again, just open up and have really good communication about what the two of you would like to accomplish together within the dynamic. So
with newbies, I do tastings a lot, and that means they get to go through a variety of different plays within a short period of time. And I just give them like 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there of different toys, different things to help them understand it. I also have a limit list that I give to people. It's about 365 kinks on it. And it has like, are you highly interested? Have you done it before? Do you not like it? Like it. That way they can figure out what their limits are. And they also have a document that if someone asks, they could just hand them the document.
Oh. I love that. Now, where can my listeners get that?
Well, I have it on an Excel spreadsheet, so I don't
know. There is BDSMlist.org, which does something very similar.
Okay.
That's the one I use personally, but Ritzia uses her own little Excel spreadsheet
because
she sends around.
Some of the ones I found online don't have all of them because there's like Pet Play, which is a big one I have, like I do.
Yeah.
And it's not on a lot of lists. Like pony play, puppy play, and all stuff like that, being a kitten. And little play is a lot on that list, too, because it's crosses a lot of borders. So, but yeah. So I've altered it and added things to it. So just because you find a list online doesn't mean that's everything. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know.
I also find, sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, well, you know, Ritzia, you should think about posting that.
For people to take a look at.
Yeah.
People to take a look at. Download it. And I'm not sure, like. Then yeah, it just if you ever thought you wanted to share it, I'm just gonna like tell my listeners, maybe you guys go to the Kink in the Chain and email Ritzia and maybe I don't know. Maybe she'll send it.
Well,
to
if
you.
I get emails, I will send it out. Yeah, that's for
yeah.
sure.
Just, okay. Yeah.
I have to ask my tech person where to post it. Tech
yeah.
person.
Easy. Give me 30 seconds and I'll have it up.
So I think you guys, enough. Honestly, no, seriously, I think you should post that. I would love to be able to just, you know, then after people listen, they can just go and we can direct them right over to where you have it and they can pop their email in and you can just either download it right off the website or just, you know, a lot of times even on the website, you just have to put your email in and then poop, send it over. That would be so helpful. Yep. I would like to see it. I'm like, maybe there's things I haven't engaged in yet that I want to do. Now that I'm
all right, I'll beat her until she sends it to me.
So. Do it. Okay. My laptop, she might like that though. Right she yeah. might be into that. Okay.
Not with a hurt back.
Not with what?
Not with my hurt vertebrae, like my vertebrae.
That's true. Now, wait, are you guys partner? Are you play partners?
We're play partners. Yes.
Okay.
And best friends.
Yes.
Yes.
Even if he doesn't want to admit it, he is my best friend.
Hmm. Oh. Now, okay, so now I'm even more bummed. I'm like, I have nobody. I don't have a co-host, best friend, and a play partner that's a co-host and a best friend. Okay, I need to get busy. Obviously, I'm slacking here. Okay. So this is something I haven't delved into very much. But I've run across it in some of my play partners that are into this. And we've never done it together, but I find it hot. And I also kind of, there's a part of me that like, I would find that hot for me if I ever have another dominant and like, I would be up for doing this from time to time. But describe to people what chastity play is all about. And do either of you engage in it?
Okay, wait, ropes girl. Remember that it's only a 30-minute show, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, did I hit a hot button?
He loves chastity play, so.
Yeah, I teach an entire hour and a half class on it, so that'd be a pretty long one to go into. But the short answer to your question is yes, we do engage in it. In fact, we just engaged in it this week, actually. Ritzia and I, on occasion, I have a remote lockbox that she can lock. And so when I'm needing, my partner is a very busy person very often. And so she can't always be there to do the things that I enjoy. And so I've gotten permission to do this. And so I can lock myself up, put the keys in the box, and then Ritzia can lock it from wherever she is from her cell phone and not let me out until she decides to or Ooh. Puts a timer on and decides to unlock it.
I love that. That's so hot.
It's very effective and I can't necessarily speak for the female mind, but I can speak for the male mind. It tends to focus your energy into one place because you're not sometimes on occasion when I'm doing scenes with people, I lock myself up in chastity simply because then that aspect of me is not either. It's not on the table. It's not in my mind. And from a physiological standpoint and just simply a physical standpoint, because you cannot get an erection, your brain doesn't fully engage with being turned on or things of that nature. So it just kind of, it's like, oh, this is hot. Oh, okay. It's not so much anymore. And then you can focus on the task in front of you when you're not, I guess, sexually attracted or turned on by what you're doing, if that's the goal. Because occasionally I'm playing with people that I'm not, that's not going to happen. These are not my sex partners. These are not people that I'm going to play with in a sexual manner. Mm-hmm. So I need to not do that. I need to not be focused on that.
Yeah.
Yes. Or you could torture them while they're in chastity and send them really sexy kitty cat pictures.
Yeah.
Cat girls.
And see, that's what I like.
Sexy outfits.
I love the teasing. Yes. Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah.
That's my
favorite
part of the game. Like, I love doing that part where I get to like torment and randomly send, here's a picture while you're at work.
Right. Yes. I love it. I know. I get off on that. Like, I just find that, oh, so naughty and hot and yeah, I need to, and I wouldn't even, you know what? I'm not opposed to a guy doing it to me, you know, getting me all worked up, putting me, you know, keeping me in chastity a little bit and then just going for it. finally I get my reward. I would totally dig that. Like, I'm down for that. Yeah. It's interesting because I haven't really, what I tell people is when you start exploring with this stuff, one door will open like 10 more. That's what I found anyway. You know, you just like, it just kind of goes and goes. It builds on itself, and, you know, and you'll find there's things I said in the very beginning. No, I'll never do that. No, I'll never do that. No, I'll never do that. And if I had $100 for every time I said never, you know, I'd be rich. And so I've really come to realize that there's just, as long as it's consensual between two adults or even with yourself, you know, then it's a-okay. And there's just a lot to be explored and do. And that's the fun stuff. That's why I feel so bad for these vanilla people. They get bored with sex and they don't want to have it anymore. It's because they're just like, it's Groundhog's Day for them. They're not trying new stuff. So, okay. So what do you guys think of, what do you think some of the biggest misconceptions about BDSM are?
One of the big ones, ironically, another class, I actually have an entire PowerPoint presentation on misconceptions. One of the biggest things that we find is that a lot of people think that, one, that all males are tops, all females are submissives. And while that is, I'd say, as far as the ratio goes, it's fairly high in that regard. There are a lot of female submissives and there are a lot of male tops. There's a ton of male submissives and there's a ton of female tops on top of that. So that is one of the big ones that people think that, oh, I'm a female, I must come in and, you know, be submissive, or I'm a male, I gotta do the whole toppy thing. And it's not the case. I am personally a switch, so I do both roles. It doesn't matter which one I do. The other one is that you need to be in like beach body / a supermodel shape when you show up and be, you know, perfectly attractive, because if you take your clothes off and you're not that, people are going to laugh at you. And it's like, well, I mean, I'm not saying that being attractive doesn't help. I'm not saying, obviously, a naked attractive person is very, very attractive for that very reason.
Right.
But people don't honestly care that much. There's some people that are larger, they're all shapes and sizes, and they're all just having their fun. And as long as two people are enjoying each other, that's all that I find that to be ridiculously hot. So
yeah,
because I do suspensions and I suspend anywhere from like 120 pounds to, I think my heaviest was 450 pounds. I've even suspended a guy in a wheelchair. So there's like no limitations. Like, even if you have disabilities, physical or mental disabilities, it's still something you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know people with, you know, autism and everything, that everybody is equal in the BDSM community. There's really, I mean, we're really open and accepting of anybody. And you may think you've got the weirdest kink on the planet, but we'll find a place for you in the dungeon somewhere that you can put you. So.
But you'll probably be beat though by, you know, some other weirdest kink, because it's limitless.
Another thing is, you don't need a whole lot of money. Like, people think you have to buy all the expensive toys and have a red dungeon in your basement.
Red room of pain.
Red room of pain in your basement. So I have a red room of pain in my basement. Yes, I know, but I don't
need it. Do you? Oh my God.
But I can go to like the dollar store and buy a bunch and like give my submissive $20 and tell him to pick out 20 things or 15 things with that $20 bill that he wants to use tonight.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You just turn a whole little scene going to the dollar store. Like, you don't need expensive toys.
I love it. You know what? Rope Scroll, there's a new PowerPoint for you, BDSM on a budget.
Sadly, I already have that one.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I teach I have probably 40 some odd classes I've developed, and that is
okay.
One
you're
of
my
them,
new
so.
Favorite resource. You that's so funny.
I do a lot of teaching.
Maybe Dollar Store will sponsor you guys.
Yeah, well, at least Dollar General, I know, is very religious, so probably not. But
okay,
you know, the others maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have a place in Florida called Pinch a Penny. I don't know how religious they are, but yeah, maybe you can hit them up. Oh my gosh, that is so, I can't believe it. See, I feel like I've missed a lot. I'm gonna have to have you guys back on. We're not even getting in the weeds here. Like, there's a lot of educational stuff. So that I don't miss too much of it. Do you have this stuff? Where do you have this stuff posted? Is it on your website? Are you going to be able to give me the links for this? Because I know my listeners are probably like, where can I go?
Yeah, all of my classes that I have available are listed in two places. The first So obviously Rope Squirrel is a pseudonym. My parents weren't that crazy when they named me, but yeah. switchjake.com is where I keep most of my classes, and they are available for download. The other one is not quite as well known. It's bdsmedu.online because they won't let me have an edu domain. Whatever, you know, I understand. That has a bunch of my classes that I've actually just recorded and sat down and just done. I don't record all my classes because I want people to book me for conventions, and I don't want everybody to get the, you know, why of buy course. The cow when you can get the milk for free.
Sure, sure. But, yeah. So you also have paid education as well.
Yeah, I go around to, well, I never charge for any of my events except for usually like travel and hotel, you know, things that are needed. But Ritzy and I actually go around to different conventions around the country and teach at events. My partner does as well. She teaches as well. So we're all just a big group of educators. And we just got back from Los Angeles, actually, or I got back from Los Angeles 2 weeks ago where I taught some classes. And COVID's kind of thrown everything under the bus, admittedly, right now. But
right.
I've got some coming up in 2022 that I can't announce yet, unfortunately. Okay. But
great.
They're coming up.
Yes. So, okay, my last and final question. Mm-hmm. If you were trapped on a deserted island and could only bring one toy with you, what would it be?
I think I know Ritzia's answer, but...
Well, no, because I can make a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's my answer?
Well, I think you'd be bringing rope, but that's my thought.
Yeah, that was my first one. Oh, I also think of my sounding kit. Because they're giant metal rods. I mean, the giant metal rods.
Are those ones you put in?
Any orifices. You put them in the penis. You put them in the
anal area.
Yeah, they can. Yes, mine are just thick and metal, and so they can be inserted. They can be used as bludgeoning tools.
Right. You could survival and pleasure right there.
Yeah, right there. Because the other one is rope, and I was like, well, that's also a survival and pleasure one for me too. Yeah. It's like I can tie things up or.
Yeah.
Create a hammock. I don't know.
There we go. Okay, Rope Squirrel.
If I had the ability, I would bring my electrical kit. But unfortunately, the very definition of being on a deserted island means no electricity, unless I'm like the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Well, you know? Hold on now. You can. I'm going to make an allowance here. You can bring, you know, like, do you see this? I have this. It's a solar battery.
You can bring
one of those. These bad boys, okay. They'll charge anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, they won't. I've tried actually to run one my electrical kit off something like that. It just doesn't provide enough juice, but it is what it is. We've had to use generators instead, but haul a generator to a deserted island.
Okay.
But realistically, if I have my body and my rope, I can do so many different things, whether it be flogging, whether it be just restraining them to a palm tree, whatever it happens to be. I can have a lot of fun with just those elements. Obviously, I would rather have a lot of my other elements, but the rope would be probably the most important thing for any kinkster, I think.
Yes. Okay. Rope it is. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Rope squirrel.
Yes. Yes. Well, guys, thank you so much. It's been so great to talk to you. Like I said, I feel like we just scratched the surface. There's a lot more meat on this bone, and maybe we'll have to do a follow-up at some point, but just let everybody know. I'll put this in the show notes too, but just let everybody know where they can find you.
So our website is kinkinthechain.com, and with only minor exceptions on all the social medias, we're pretty much the same. I think the only weird one's on Instagram because somebody already had it. So we're kinkinthechain_podcast, but hey, you know, it works. Yeah. Check us out on any of our social medias, but our big one is kinkinthechain.com. That's where you can find us. And on Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, whatever it is now, Google Podcasts, all of those. We're everywhere.
All right. Great. Well, thank you guys so much for being on. And guys, if you love what you heard today, I know you did. You know what I love you to do? I always love you to go to the website, curiousgirldiaries.com, and click on the pink tab on the right-hand side and leave me a voicemail. And you can leave me up to a 5-minute message. Just let it rip, and I will get back to you personally. All right. Thanks, guys. Stay healthy, happy, safe. Mwah. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.